I've had this on my mind for a while now. I've tried to draw a little bit of a best, not really an artist, but I wanted you to get the idea that the will of God outweighs our question marks, and our question marks in life and our decisions we have to make, life decisions, salvation. The will of God has to be above everything. And sometimes we have question marks and wonderment and wonder which way to go or what should I do in this case. And we need to really find the will of God. And we want to talk about that tonight, about the help of the Lord, the will of God, God's will for us. In 1 Timothy 2 and 4, there's one thing that God wills. It says 2 and 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, the Lord wants all men to be saved. Who will have all men to be saved? We know that all men will not be saved, but we know that it's God's will for all men to be saved. So we know it's God's will for us to stay saved and also to help everyone we can to get saved. And this is our purpose in life. This should be our purpose above everything, to keep in the will of God. Now, we found as we traveled along in life that the enemy will come along with different things, and different thoughts come to our mind because God created us that way, to be able to weigh things out and think of things. And sometimes we are influenced by other people, and sometimes they bring thoughts to our mind. And I'm not exactly saying sin or nothing like that, but just things about maybe where you're living at. Maybe you have family somewhere else that may draw you and say, why don't you move here by me? Or why don't you do such and such? And maybe you weigh that out and you think, well, maybe that would be a good thing for me just to pull up and go there. And then you start praying about what is God's will. And then you go pray about it and say, well, Lord, I have this question in my mind. And so what is your will for me? And the Lord begins to talk to you and say, well, I will for you to stay right there for right now. This is where I want you to go. I was thinking about the children of Israel, you know. The cloud during the day, the pillar of fire at night, and how that cloud moved, and how when God stopped, they stayed there, and when it's time to go, it started moving, they begin to follow the Lord. And then in the evening at night, the fire would go, and when the fire went, they went, and when the fire stopped, they stopped. But they obeyed to the letter. They followed God. Well, we are serving God, and in His way, it may not just be like a literal cloud we see or a fire we see in the sky, but yet in God's way, He talks to us and leads us to His will. But we have to be willing to submit to His will. And many times, our will and our flesh may try to tempt us, or our family members, or love for them, a desire to be with them, may try to tempt us to get out of God's will. And we have to constantly go back and pray and balance it out and say, Lord, what do you really want me to do? What do you want with my life? Where do you really want me to be? What do you really want me to do? And when the Lord shows us His will, the Lord will work it all out, and He'll help us to feel satisfied, and we'll be content and happy because we know we're under that pillar of fire. We're right where God wants us to be, and we don't feel a lot of nervousness and confusion we won't feel uneasy. But I found out that when we're in questionable circumstances and we start getting confused and I don't know what to do, and it continues to get worse. And, you know, I said confusion is of the devil. And when this starts and we don't feel easy about it and we're troubled about it and all this, the Lord wants to calm us down. He wants us to know positively we're in the will of God. And we know that it's God's will for us to be saved. So we want to do everything in life that will give us that purpose to be saved. Things that draw us away, we need to be very, very careful. Things that could draw us away, we need to be very careful. Because the main thing is for us to stay saved. The main thing for us is to have our family saved. So we want to work on that. The main thing for us is to have the congregation working together, loving one another. This is the will of God for all men to be saved. So we're part of this. We're part of the congregation. So we want to work at God's will here. We may have ideas and things, you know, camp meeting's coming up. We could think, well, I think such and such should happen. Or, you know, our mind starts going, we think the saints ought to do such and such, or they should do this and that. And business meetings, sometimes people have all kinds of different ideas and confusion can come. But when we have the humility of Christ and when we want God's will to work, you know, saints can get along and love one another and work it out. And it all can just flow so wonderful. When God's will, if we'll just let go sometimes and get our hands off things and let God talk to us and be willing to submit to Him. You know, there's a song that says a humble heart, God, you know, and we know in the Bible, a humble heart, God loves to see. He'll never fail. That's a song. He'll never fail to take their part. This is what God loves to see a humble heart. And it's not always easy to be humble. And you know, it hasn't been easy, for me at times to be humble, but the Lord told me I had to be humble. And so I got down and prayed and say, now Lord, get me there. Just get me there, Lord. Help me to see what, and He would show me the fruits of humility. What will come of this? I have a question about something. And I could be humble. I can choose to be humble or I can just leave it the way it is. And the Lord tells me, well, if you be humble, what will be the fruit of it if you show humility in this thing? What, if this is God's will for you to be humble and you are humble, what will be the consequences of that humility? If you choose not to be humble, what will be the consequences of that? And we balance those out in life. You know, if we stay in the will of God, we will stay saved. We will stay saved and we will finish our course and we'll make heaven our home. But the enemy is going to work on each one of us to get us out of God's will. We've got to be careful. We've got to realize. And when we get in God's will, let's pray that we stay there. We stay there until the Lord moves that fire, until He tells us to do something, we don't move out of God's will. You know, I was thinking as we get older, you know, people say, well, you're getting older, it's time to retire. Take it easy. Have some pleasure. You know, you get lots of beautiful places. Sometimes we get magazines in our home retirement. Oh, the 10 top places in America. You can go there and retire and enjoy yourself for the rest of your life and just relax in beautiful places. And you look at all them places. Well, if God is, yes, He's everywhere, but is that where God wants you? See, is that where God wants you to take it easy and relax and not worry about nothing anymore? Or does God have work for you to do? See? And the Lord said, no, 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 no. You don't be thinking those things. You've got work to do. See, the Lord wants us to be in His will. It's not what the flesh wants. The flesh to relax and the flesh to quit working so much, but just do Jesus. Is that what Jesus wants you to do? You know, the song says, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus go retire somewhere and quit? What did He do? Well, His example was He went about doing good. He worked up to the very end. Even on the man on the cross looked at Him and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, this day is salvation come to you. He says, you shall meet me in paradise. This day you'll be with me in paradise. You know, He worked to the very end till He took His last breath. He was working for the Lord, working for His Father. And that's what He expects us to do. There's no retirement in the Lord's vineyard. Nope. Only retirement you'll get is when you get to heaven And then you can be there for eternity. So why, you know, you just work for Jesus, because there's no retirement here. The Lord wants you to work for him. I got a lot of good, you know, I think about Brother Austin Wilson. I mean, he's an old man. When I come around the saints, he was getting up there probably in pretty good years, you know. And I heard him preach to the very end almost, you know, till he died. He's preaching the gospel. And the Lord was anointing him. And I remember sometimes he would lead out a little bit of a song. You know, some of those memories are feeding my soul today. Even though that man, his fruit is feeding my soul. I remember one message he preached at Monarch. I'm told about this, but this was so blessing to me. And he was preaching on the grace of the Lord, and he said, "Grace is free as the air we breathe," the song says. "We may each have a full supply." All that man, and I didn't even get to hear the rest of the message because I went and prayed. And I said, "Lord, I want this grace." And you filled me up with it. And the Lord answered prayer. And I never forgot what Brother Austin said. "And I need grace, God will give me the grace." We just don't know. So he may never know that message helped me so much. But his fruit, it's not Brother Austin's. It was the Lord working through him. You know, it's not so much, but it was him, because he gave his vessel to the Lord. He was willing. It said, "If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land." And he wants to take our lives, and he wants us to be in God's will. That's the only kind of life that will really be blessed. It's when you're in God's will. You know, you're so blessed, and people in the world don't really understand why you are so different than them. But when they get to know you a little better, they understand more that you're serving the Lord to be in God's will. All your life, you ask God, "Is it okay? I want to please you, God. I want to be in your will." So the first thing is salvation. And over here in John 4 and 34, you know, Jesus went about doing the Father's will. When he talked to that little woman at the well, you know, he wanted to help her get saved. And he was just so busy, he wanted to help her. And, you know, the disciples, I won't read all that, but what I want to get at is the disciples went to get some meat. Now, this body, we have to have water, we have to have food. It's part of life. But, you know, God, Jesus, his will was, there was something about that he loved his Father's will. And his Father's will was to help people get saved. And that's what he was working on. And the 34th verse, when the disciples came back in 33 of 4th chapter of John, it says, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath he any man brought him aught to eat? Because Jesus said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of." And he was just having a feast there with this woman. A spiritual feast. You know, that's the way the saints are. They have spiritual feasts. People think, you know, people that are not saved don't understand. You can go to service and enjoy yourself so much. Well, there's pleasures of the world you can have. The retirement places. There's glorious places, beautiful rivers and lakes and restaurants and all this. Have you a good time? But you'd rather trade that and be in the will of God? Sure. Why? Because there's spiritual feast there. Jesus was having a spiritual feast with this woman. He was leading her to the Lord, helping her to get saved. And he was so excited, he wasn't worried about getting fish and bread. I don't know what the disciples bought that day. But he wasn't so worried about it. He said, "I got meat that you know not of. I'm enjoying myself here." You know, the saints could just fast all day and have a glorious meeting and not worry about food and get such a blessing that they would feel that way. We have meat that you don't know of. Well, come on over here. We got a big hamburger and french fries. Oh, I don't want that right now. I'm in service. I'm getting some spiritual blessings. See, I'm in the will of God. And he was trying to teach the disciples, you know, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know, dear ones, there's something about working for Jesus and the blessing you get out of it. And you know, whatever work you do, if it's sweeping the chapel, whatever work you do for Jesus, when you do it with all your heart, when you're doing this unto the Lord and you want to be in God's will, there's a blessing in that. There's a great blessing in that. You know, this woman, I want to read about it, but this woman that wrote, you've heard that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and use me after thy will. Well, the woman that wrote this song, Mrs. Pollard, the reason she wrote that song is because she got inspiration, because she was discouraged at first because she was unable to raise up enough money to go to Africa. She wanted to go and be a missionary there. And it wasn't working for her. It wasn't working out. And she went to prayer meeting feeling kind of down about it. And an elderly lady there was praying, and she prayed this. It really doesn't matter what you do with us, Lord. Just have your way with our lives. Now, some of us may get to go there, and it may not be God's will for you to go there. And some may be called somewhere else. Or some may have to stay home and work here, wherever God wants you. But wherever God wants you, if you're in God's will, you'll be blessed. And this woman, when she heard that saying, I want to say it again, it really doesn't matter what you do with us, God. Just have your way with our lives. Just wherever you want me, whatever you want me to do, is I want to be you to have your way with my life. And when she said that, when she heard that little lady pray that at prayer meeting, she wrote that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. That song has stayed with us all through these years. She died in 1934. She was born in 1862. I want to read this little poem to you. I am willing to receive what thou givest, to lack what thou withholdest, to relinquish what thou takest, to surrender what thou claimest, to suffer what thou ordainest, to do what thou commandest, and to wait until thou sayest, go. You know, sometimes the Lord tells us to go, and sometimes we have to wait until he tells us to go. We have to stay in God's will. If we run ahead, that's not good. If we lag behind, that's not good. But it is to be where the Lord wants us to be. Just do what he wants us to do. Whether it looks like it's small or it looks like it's a big thing, that doesn't really matter. It's just to know that you're in the center of God's will. Because this way you'll keep encouraged. This way you'll keep saved. You know, some people wonder, you know, I've heard people say, some people even said this, I don't want to get saved. I've heard this in stories or something. Because the Lord might call me to be a preacher. So I don't want to get saved. Now, that's not wise to think that way. I don't want to get saved because the Lord might call me a preacher, and I just could not do that. Do you know what? The Lord wants you to get saved no matter what God's will is for you, because he will not tell you to do something you can't do. He will not call you to do something you can't do. He will only ask of you what you can do. Remember what the disciple said to that brother? The brother said, Jesus, what about this man? What's he going to do? And Jesus says, what's that doubt thou to thee? Wasn't that Peter? He said, follow thou me. What's that to thee? Follow thou me. We're not so to worry so much about what brother so-and-so is doing or sister so-and-so is doing. Just make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. Because God will call upon us to do his will. And he will, and if we'll listen to his still small voice, he will bless us. You know, This song here, I want to sing a little bit of it if I can. God's help here. But this song, Saved by Grace, was written by Fanny Crosby. And this song was such a blessing. When she wrote this as a poem, she wrote about 8,000 to 9,000 hymns in her lifetime. 8,000 to 9,000. Just think of it. And I've scribbled down a few little words at home, and I've wrote some poems, you know, but I've never really got into a hymn yet. Don't know if I ever will even get one. But I still know I'm saved, and I'm not discouraged because the Lord blessed her so much. But the poor lady went through life blind. But God made it up to her. God made it. It was God's will for her to be blind so he could flood her with hymns. Well, God did that. And this one that she wrote, this poem, she carried it for a while. She really didn't want them to put music to her at first because she thought she would read it. She would read it to people. But I want to share it with you, and just pray for me. And if I can't, just pray for me. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but all the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story. I want to read some more of these verses. Have you ever heard this song? I'll try one more verse. I'm not, was it called to sing? I was called to preach, but I hope the Lord will help me. I wanted to share it with you because it's so beautiful. But someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me.
Maybe you can help me with the chorus.
And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face. Tell the story saved by grace.
Fanny Crosby was born in 1820 and died in 1915. Two more verses I'll read you. Someday when fades the golden sun, beneath, now listen to these words, they're so beautiful. Beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. What Jesus wants you to do? What is the will of God for your life? Don't you want Jesus to say someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You know, someday till then I'll watch and I'll wait. My lamp all trimmed and burning bright. That when my Savior opens the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Oh, you know, like we heard Brother Philip mention this morning about that dream he had about the mansion. There's something coming up, saints. There's something wonderful. We'll stay in the will of God. We're going to see heaven. We're going to see Jesus face to face. Oh, you know, we're all getting older, but you know, you get older and you think of, I saw someone today with a sweatshirt that said, oh, grandchildren, that's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You know, it's a saying, a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But, you know, as you go in life and you,
these little grandchildren come up and, oh, they're just like a pot of gold. And you know, as you get older, your life can be so enriched. And the best years of your life can be towards the end. It doesn't have to get dull. It doesn't have to get old and worn out. You can be a blessing. I think about Jerry's grandmother. She was a blessing in her old age. It said that you can bear fruit in your old age. And you can be in the will of God. She was in the will of God. I remember she went blind and she chose not to get her cataracts taken off. And she chose to go blind. But you know, she sat there in her house and I'd go visit her. And she wouldn't see me at first. And she'd just be sitting there praying and praying and praying. I love Grandma. Grandma was like my own grandma, Jerry's grandma. I loved her. She was a pillar to me. She lives with me still. After all these years, she's gone. Her fruit went in my life. She was in the will of God. And the Lord blessed her. The Lord blessed her life. You know, dear ones, every one of us, stay in the will of God. Don't run off somewhere. Unless God wants you to move somewhere, don't do that. You know, stay where God wants you to be. Everything won't always be easy. You know, I think about in a marriage. I really believe I love my husband more today than I ever have. Love him. Loved him when I married him. But as the years go by and you work things out and things come up and you raise a family, there's just endearment there. There's just something you share together. And it's just like in a congregation, you know. Yes, there's been things you had to work out, and you know, but you know, you work at it, and you, like Brother Philip said this morning, there's a sweet hum of unity and love and harmony. Do you think we can reach that with everybody here? Sure we can. You think we can just really love each other like God wants us to? If we're in the will of God, we'll do that. We'll really appreciate each other. And you know, it's just, this is my brother. This is my sister. I just can't let them go. And I can't let any disharmony come between us because I want to be in God's will. I want to be in God's will. It's too important. There's something that's bigger than us. This church of God, God has allowed us to be part of it, a member of it, but it's on His shoulder. And He just wants to make sure that we walk in His will. Stay in His will. Because if we don't, we'll hurt ourselves and we'll hurt others. But if we'll stay in God's will, when these questions come up in our minds, do His will. You know, there's a little saying in the world that says, when you come up to the street and it says, which way should I go? Turn to the right. You know, there is scriptures behind the right way to go. If we wonder about anything, we can get the scriptures, we can read the Bible, and God will direct our path. Many times He's gave me a scripture right when I needed it. What about the scripture that says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord? Well, we know that all things that come into our life are not good. Some things are bad. But God works it for our good if we take it right. He can work it for our good somehow. For our spiritual good. We can go on. We can be strong. There's a song in the, it's a worldly song a few years ago they had out, but it was, I kind of like that song. I heard it once in a while on the radio or something, but it says, you might recognize this, but it says, a hero comes along with a feeling to be strong. And I don't even know where all the words, I don't even know all the words, but I just got to hold that part, you know, because I took it to a spiritual application. A hero comes along and a feeling to be strong, you know, and I cast my fears aside. And I thought, my, that's pretty good, you know, be strong and cast your fears aside and be like a hero, you know. Well, do you know, to be a good Christian soldier, that's what we are. We're not heroes like to get a big name or something. We're heroes for Jesus. Is that okay? We are soldiers of the cross. And we're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He doesn't want us to be babies. He wants us to grow up and drink, eat meat and not just always have milk, but be able to eat some meat, be able to go through some things, be able to be tough and strong. When the enemy comes in like a flood, let the Spirit of the Lord raise up a standard against him. Keep in God's will. You know, and the enemy comes along and says something to you. And you weigh it out and say, well, what would be God's will for me? What would be the best for my salvation in this case? If I do this, what are the circumstances? If I do this, what would be the circumstances? If it helps your salvation, you better run for it. You better do what God wants you to do, because that's how we stay in God's will. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2, I'm going to read just a little bit more here. Philippians, we want to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling. This is what, you know, I remember one time when I first got saved, I got down and prayed, and I don't know what kind of trial it was, but something was bothering me. And I just thought, Lord, what if I don't make it? I know I'm saved. What if I don't make it through this trial, Lord? What if I'm not strong enough? And I said, why don't you just take me now? I know I'm saved. Just let me die. Does that sound like somebody in the Bible? Did Elijah say, Jezebel says, I'm going to make you just like those prophets. I'm going to take your life. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get you, Elijah. And Elijah was all brave and strong before, you know. But now he says, oh, that woman Jezebel, she's going to get me in. So he says, oh, Lord, I just wish I could die. And he goes running away from God. And God over there, and God says, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, arise. And the angel said, arise. Eat this. Didn't the angel have some food there for him? Eat it and get strength. And he ate it and got strength, and he went on. That's what's going to happen to us sometimes. We're going to just go along and think, oh, Lord, this is just so hard. I think maybe I just got to have help. Or maybe you want to just take me to heaven. I won't have to go through this anymore. And the Lord says, now, come on. You get over here, and you pray, and you read your Bible. You be a good girl, a good boy. And you get up, and you be strong. And, you know, and then you get filled up with the will of God and the blessing of God. And you go, why did I ever think I wanted to die? I don't want to die. I want to be strong. I want to go forward. There's a lot of things to enjoy yet. Praise the Lord. So Elijah had to get back at the will of God, didn't he? Jonah, he tried to run away from God. And he got out of the will of God. He got out there running away from God. You think, I'll tell you what, any one of us here, you think you can run from God? Try it. Just try it. Because you can't really do it. God can find you. God can find me. I'm afraid of God. A righteous fear. I have a fear of God. I want to behave myself because you know what? I know God is looking down on me. He's watching me. He wants me to be a good girl. I may sound a little funny here, but this is the truth. He's looking at you. He wants you to be good. And if you don't be good, he knows how to chastise us. It says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And you think he won't chastise us? He will. He will. Because why? He wants you to get in the will of God. He will. He wants you to get in the will of God, so he'll let chastenings come. And this has happened to me in my lifetime, son. He'll let chastenings come to get me back in that will of God, that circle. Right there is where he wants us. And as long as we stay there, we'll be okay. We'll be happy. And the Savior will be right where God wants us to be. But Jonah went out there. He tried to run. And they said, Jonah, what kind of God do you serve? Oh, I serve the God that... He can, you know, he controls the God of the waters and the God of the sun and all. And, he said, yeah, I'm the one, I'm running from that God, and that's why he's letting all this storm come. So you just cast me overboard and everything will be right, all right with you. Well, they tried not to. They didn't want to do that to Jonah, but finally they tossed him overboard. And the Lord prepared a big fish for him. You know, you think the Lord went through a lot of trouble to help Jonah, didn't he? And when I was down there in Bocoina, We had children's meeting, and this little boy come up. He was artist. He was about probably 11 or 12. He's one of the oldest ones there. He acted like he was kind of bored about being in children's meeting, like he wasn't too happy. And I was trying to get him out of his closet, or trying to get him to participate, you know. And I knew he didn't act too happy about being there. And someone said, he's an artist. I said, oh. I said, brother, why did you come up here and draw a picture of Jonah and the whale, or the big fish, or whatever you want to call it? And he did the most beautiful scene. It was wonderful. And it was so cute. And I got such a blessing out of it. And he put little Jonah with Jonah's arms was up. And said, he put a little voice up there, like, you know, a little circle. I surrender. He really got a hold of it. And I've never forgot that. I surrender. Do you know that's what God wants us to do? Surrender to God's will. And it was a little stick man, Jonah, but I surrender. And we want to say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. I want to be in your will. And when Jonah went, he preached to Nineveh. He did what God's will. But it'd be a lot better if Jonah didn't have to go through all that to get there, you know. Lord, help us. Why? You know, it's just like Canaan land. What's it say? Broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Lord led unerring to the land I hold today. Why does it take us people to get to where God wants us? Why does it take us so long sometimes? What's wrong with this? Are we a little stubborn? Are we self-willed? Or do we not have enough humility? What's wrong with this anyway? Why does it take us so long? Why does the children of Israel wander around in the wilderness for 40 years when it should have just took a 3-day journey? That's the way people are without God. None of us are very pretty. Without Jesus, none of us are very pretty. But with Jesus, He can help us. Do you ever get down and say, Lord, I want your will. I want to be sweet like you. I want to be lovely. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to have righteousness. I want to have holiness in me, Lord. I want to be just like you. When people ruffle me, when they say things that hurt me, I don't want to respond ugly. I want to be sweet and kind. Then something happens. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me to stay in your will. Why did that person say that? Don't they have enough wisdom not to say such things? Well, do you always say the right thing? No. Are you so perfect? That's what God talks to me. Do you always say everything just right, Marcia? Have you ever not hurt somebody accidentally? Oh, probably did, Lord. I think I remember I said something and I did not mean it that way. And I could see the look on their face. I think I hurt them. And I thought, oh, why did I say that? See, but you have lots of mercy on you, don't you? Yes, Lord, I do. I have lots of mercy on me. But why didn't you have mercy on this other person? I know, Lord. He'd have mercy on them too. But see, that's what the Lord, He wants us to stay in His will. Be willing. And so when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. What's that scripture say? But when... You know, that's not so big, such a big reward. If you have a fault and you take it patiently, but when you suffer for righteousness and you're being good and someone buffets you, then you suffer for that. Then the Lord looks at that. And you know what? The Lord is going to bless you. He's going to send a blessing to you. Amen. Abundantly. When you suffer for righteousness and take it patiently, He will send a blessing to you. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord tonight. I think it's so wonderful how God could help us. Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Lord is working in us to will and do of his good pleasure, not our good pleasure, his good pleasure. We may have pleasures in our mind that's legal, but it's not where God wants you to be. God is working in your life to his good pleasure. He's going to work on us. He's going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. He wants us to work out our salvation with him. We can't be in God's will unless we're willing to be in his will. You remember the story about the Indian when he drew a big circle and he wanted to get a blessing, and he threw in his tomahawk and he threw all his precious possessions in that circle, expecting, Lord, send the fire down. Send the blessing down. He didn't get the blessing till he got into that circle. He said, engine two. And when he said engine two, the blessing came. Dear ones, tonight that's where the blessing's going to come. When we say, Lord, me. You can have me. I'm going to get in that circle. I'm going to get in that will of God. I'm going to let us encompass me around. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, Lord. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll stay where you want me to stay. I'll go the last mile if I have to. I'll do whatever you want me to do to get your blessing. Do you want the blessing of God tonight? Do you want God to pour out his blessing? You know, the song says, I paid the price and I obtained the prize. You know, that's where you get the blessing. I can't put you in that circle and you can't put me in there. We have to put ourself in there. It's all between me and God, you and God. You gotta do it. You gotta be willing to do it. I think about a marriage sometimes in Ephesians. I won't turn to that right now. But it said, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, you know, and gave himself for it. And you know, we're to love our husband the same way. You know, many times, I remember one time, my sister said to me, we're working on our marriage. And she said, you know, I said, why is he kind of hard to live with or something? And she said, yeah. And she goes, I think I'm hard to live with too. She was honest. And she said, we're working on it together. You know, it's so easy sometimes to see the other person. We need it. Where we really get the victory is when we see me. We see what I'm contributing to this marriage. What am I doing? It's so easy to say the other person is causing all the trouble. That other person is the one, you know, I heard people say, that person better never get married because they're not marriage material. They're just not marriage material. Now, what do you think that means? If you weren't marriage material, does that mean that you're a hard person to get along with and you couldn't stay married to somebody because you're just too difficult? I guess maybe that's what that means. But God put you in a marriage. You must have been marriage material. And he put you in a congregation. You can get along. You can be in Christ's marriage and you can be marriage material. The Lord wants to take us as a potter. He wants to work on us. He wants to mold us. It says, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, you ought not be able to have to tell a man to love his wife. A man should just love her. But sometimes maybe women aren't so easy to love always. Maybe they get on your nerves. Maybe they don't see things like you see them. We're different. Women and men are different. But you know what? We can still love them. And women can love their husbands and get along. And be happy. And I heard someone say one time, you know, as long as we got to go long in this life, we might as well be happy where we're going. Well, if you're going to be in a marriage, you might as well get the good out of it and be happy. Might as well hold hands and do all that and have fun. Enjoy one another. Oh, sometimes, you know, I know in a marriage, oh, I don't want to hold their hand. They hurt my feelings. That's right when you need to hold her hand, right then. I don't care. I love them. Oh, I love them so much. I don't care. Just don't care. You know, that's the way we can be with one another. He said, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, pour the love on. Pour the love on. You having trouble? Pour that love on. You know, if you say, well, my husband likes apple pie. I'm going to make him a really pretty apple pie. Or my wife likes to do such and such. I'm going to take time out of my day and take her there. How many marriages could get better if everybody would work on it a little bit? I don't know why I'm saying all this. I'm just saying it comes with your salvation. Work out your salvation. How many of us could be better saints or closer to Jesus if we would work at it more? We have to work at it. We have to get sealed. I was reading in the commentary before I came to service, and it said, ministers have got to have zeal. I said, yes, right, Lord. You got to have some zeal. What if the preachers didn't want to preach anymore? I'm too tired. I know I read this story, and they had a revival, and this minister came. There was three preachers there. I think two preachers there or so. But the revival preacher that came and said, you know, we said, Brother Marty's to hold his revival. He showed up, he's sitting right there, and he wouldn't preach. And they said, they waited for him, and then they had to go preach, you know. You wait for a while. If Brother Marty, I'm just using him, I don't think he'd care. He wouldn't get up. I think of evangelists. And he said, he wouldn't get up, Brother Philip, I'd go preach, you know. Well, the next night, same thing, he just sit there, right? So the preachers dealt with him and said, Brother, after service, why are you not getting up and preaching? You know we hold in a revival and you're just sitting there. He said, well, I don't know if I'm saved. What? He said, I'm kind of discouraged. Well, did you sin? No, no. Well, what's wrong with you? Well, I just don't know. Just this old dark cloud come over me and I just started feeling so down and I just thought maybe I'm not even saved anymore. Now what would we do if we had a bunch of discouraged preachers? We wouldn't have a much of good time, would we? But you know, saints, we got to pray for our preachers. How many of us get out and pray? Pray for me. I need all the prayers you can give me. I pray for myself, but you want to pray for me? Go ahead. I'd love you to pray for me. I need all the prayers I can get. Sister Connie, pray for Sister Connie. Pray for Brother Phil. Pray for us. Pray for all of them. Sometimes people say, I wish we could have some more fiery meetings and fire in the pulpit. And I wish we could have some singers with some zeal. And I wish I could come to service and there'd be more praising the Lord. And you know what? Maybe we need to pray for it. Camp meeting's coming up. Oh, I hope we have a good camp meeting. But that's about all of what I'm going to do. I hope we have a good camp meeting. Well, you've got to do more than that. Amen. Got a lot of work around here to do. And we got a lot of spiritual work to do. And we got to get in there. You know, there's sometimes I was tired. I'd come to service during camp meeting. And someone would go to the altar and I'd think, oh, Lord, maybe Sister so-and-so will go down there because I'm so tired. I'm about ready to tell Jerry, let's go. I gotta go. I'm tired. And I had a long day or something, and nobody would go pray for him. Or I said, you, get down there. And I'd get down there, and I'd start praying, and the Holy Spirit would come surround us. And right soon I could feel the Holy Spirit working in me and praying for this one. And tears sometimes I'd cry right with him, and the presence of God was there. He revived me. Revived me. If you're 59 years old or 60 or 80, but Jesus can revive you again. Praise the Lord. His Holy Spirit is in you. Praise the Lord. We want to be in the will of God. We want to try our very best, and God will help us to stay in His will. We all need to be in God's will. And we all need to work for Jesus. Every one of you that's sitting here, it's not just the preachers. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's got a job. And I know, because we all can't do the same job. God's got a blessing for us. He's got a job for us to do. What is your job? What's your job? Kent means calling. What does God want you to do? Are you in the will of God? Did he talk to you? Did he tell you something you could do? We can all pray. Praise the Lord. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Praise God. Philippians 3. This is what Paul said, 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I don't know about y'all. I know every one of you. I know every one of you here. You want to go to heaven, don't you? You want to attain unto that resurrection? Keeping the will of God. You remember this, young people, and older people too. Me, I'm talking to me. Keeping the will of God, Marsha. Keep there. You'll be safe. We moved here in Oklahoma City in 1979. We moved to Guthrie in 1983. And sometimes I had some different family members said, just because God told you to Guthrie doesn't mean he always wanted you to stay there. I said, you know what? That's true. But so far, God hasn't told me to go anywhere else. So I can't go until he tells me I can go, right? And he may someday. But until he does, you will see me right here because I'm not going to go out of God's will. And I don't want you to either. Stay in the Lord's will. I've seen people move off somewhere, and I'm not saying you can't live isolated. But I've seen them go off and backslide and leave the saints and not stay with the truth. You got to be very careful. Very careful. Your soul's at stake. Your soul's at stake. Stay in the will of God. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Lord has apprehended us. Now, I don't believe in once saved, always saved, but I do believe this. As long as you want to stay saved, as long as you want to please the Lord and you're wanting to stay in the will of God, you are apprehended of Christ. He will help you. He will do all he can to help you. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have as for an example. So this scripture, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep in the will of God. When the enemy brings thoughts to you, I don't know if anybody here has got some thoughts about doing something that it might not be God's will. Think about it. Pray about it. Make sure that you don't get out of God's will. It could mean your soul. It could mean your soul. Stay in God's will. Because that's a safe place to be. That's a safe place to be. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad the Lord's helped me to understand that. Just a few things I wanted to mention. Scriptures. I remember before I was saved, my mother told me this. She taught me this, and this was the truth. She said, I was getting up in the teenagers. She says, Marsha, when you get married, it's for life until they die. If they die, you're free to marry in the Lord. The Bible says that. But unless your companion dies, you are married. You have to stay. You can't divorce them and commit adultery. That's wrong. You can't go to heaven doing that. It scared me. And I remember praying, oh, God, help me. Because I can't make this decision on my own. I need your help. You know, you want to stay in God's will. Do you believe that God can give you the right person? Yes. Do you believe that? And then as I journeyed along, many times, like Jerry mentioned, I won't go into all that, but it was time to move. The Lord told us, we've got to move for your soul's sake. Go to Oklahoma. He told us where to go. He led us. Brother Souders had put us on the tape list, and that's why we were drawn to him, but God did all that. He worked that all out for us. And that's why we went to Oklahoma City first. And Brother Souders, I remember coming out of the chapel one day, and there were those little blackjack trees you have around here. I said, Brother Souders, yeah, have you ever been to Michigan? Michigan? The beautiful trees. Beautiful flowers. Beautiful Lake Michigan. Oh, gorgeous Michigan. Well, you know what? Oklahoma's gorgeous to me now. But not at first. I like red dirt, and I come here, and it didn't feel like home at first. And I said, Brother Souders, we're coming out of chapel one day. I said, don't you think it's kind of ugly around here? He said, ugly? I said, yeah, those little trees you got. And just comparing it to Michigan, it looks like it's kind of ugly around here. You all forgive me for saying that. But Brother Souders, he laughed about it. He said, oh. But now I love Oklahoma. Oklahoma's mine. I came here, and I'm one of you. I'm an Oklahoman. Well, I was born in Virginia, raised in Michigan, but now I'm Oklahoman. Been here longer than anywhere. It's my home. I hope God never tells me I have to go. I'm just happy to stay right here. Got my cemetery lot over there. Ready to go when it's time. Praise the Lord! Oklahoma, I love you. Oklahoma's okay. But back then, when I first, and I was in the will of God, God told me to come here. But at first, the enemy will contest you sometimes. I remember I was scared of the bugs. We moved in this house, and these horny toads had come around. Oh, they looked like scorpions to me. They were ugly and scary, and I thought they would bite me in. And little Tammy come home from school, and she was picking them up. Let's get the horny toads. And she'd pick them up, don't touch them things. And I would walk around the house looking. I tell you, there's bugs all over Oklahoma, Jerry. And they're all creepy things. And these ugly horny toads. Oh, they're so ugly. And I don't know what. And she said, Mama, they play with them at school. They're not going to hurt you. She said, they go in the gardens and stuff. It's okay. I was just fearful of those things. I didn't know about Oklahoma. Tarantulas. And you know, I thought, oh, these tarantulas, how are we going to survive? Look at them. But you know, all those worries and fears went away. Praise the Lord. I love Oklahoma. But you know, when you're in the will of God, He makes you happy. He makes you happy. You could be in a desert if that's where God wants you to be. You'd be happy, wouldn't you? Oh, I love the saints. They're so precious. I'm glad I'm with the saints here in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Yes. Guthrie's a good congregation. It's a good congregation. We all love each other. We're just happy here. This is a good place to be. God put us where He wants you to be. I don't know. I just want to encourage you tonight. Stay in God's will. If God sent you here, then you do what God wants you to do, and you do it with all your heart. If He gave you a wife, love her with all your heart. If He gave you a husband, love him with all your heart. Well, love him anyways. You know what? You burn the toast sometimes around the house. Honey, why'd you burn that toast? Well, I didn't mean to. Well, I'll tell you what, I got an idea. Take one of those knives and just scrape it off. You know, we don't have to get upset about these silly little things. Just love each other. Amen. You know, some people at the table, you'd have one child all to knock over the milk. Oh, child, why are you always doing things like that? you know, just get the milk, wipe it up, love that little child. It's going to grow up so fast, you know, keep peace in your home, keep harmony there. Don't be picking at them all the time for dropping the milk. Come on. A few years are going to be gone. You'll say, oh, I wish I had that baby back. She could drop all the milk. She could take a whole picture of this. If I had Tammy and Jody around, I'm glad they're grown up. That was God's will. But if they were little ones and they want to drop a tear, take a picture of milk, baby, pour it all over. Just come to mommy again, you know. Put your arms around me. It's precious. It'll soon pass. They'll be out of the house. Have patience with them. Love them. You'll have more harmony. You'll have more peace. You'll be in God's will that way. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm overflowing tonight, as you can see. But I need to let you go. But you know what? Stay in God's will. Because I found, and I'm really endeavoring to do that all the way. I know I was praying to the Lord, and He gives me this song in the morning. And I want to testify, too. I was trying to hang up this pretty wreath on a tree. I always wanted to hang this pretty wreath on our brick, and He put this little screw up for me, and it was kind of high, and I thought I should get the lighter, but I thought, I can stretch. And I stretched and stretched, and I got it up there. And I think I pulled something here. I had to do something. It hurt for 2 days. I had to sleep on pillows, two pillows. And when I breathed, it kind of like tweezed, you know, and I thought, what have I got myself into? I just get too excited about things like this. And you know, the Lord, I got up about 5:30 in the morning, Friday morning, and I thought I'm going to pray for myself. And I went in there and I started praying. I was praying for a lot of other things too. But I started praying. I said, I just laid hands on myself and I said, oh, Jesus, heal me of this pain. Lord, you could just take it away. And I just kept praying and praying and praying. And all of a sudden, saints, this is the truth. The pain all left. And I got through with prayer that morning. Oh, it was so wonderful. I jumped in the bed and laid my head down. I don't need two pillows. It's good. It's just wonderful. Glory to God. It was wonderful. I said, prayer. God, heal me. Right to in prayer. Oh, I tell you, saints, it's wonderful what God can do. What can He do? You know that song? Maybe we could sing that. What can He do with a life that's steeped in sin? He can do what no other power can do. Why would we ever want to get out of God's will? God can do such wonderful things for us. Oh, I love Him more and more and more and more. I just love Him more and more. And I know when it's time to go, I'm going to be so satisfied. It'll be the right time. I'm expecting to live for quite a while yet. I don't know if I will, but I'm expecting it. And I'm expecting that Jesus is going to do more wonderful things in our lives. And He's going to let us work for Jesus. Why do we want to live anyway? It's to do the will of the Father. Will you pray for me?